Hello and welcome to this PSG Think Big series podcast. In this program, Alicia Seckham speaks to Teboho and Tawana about inclusive economic growth and building sustainable township economies.
Hello and welcome to the Think Big series brought to you by PSG. I'm Alicia Seckham. Now, this year, PSG hosted its inaugural Think Big SA 2024 competition and together with Economic Research Southern Africa invited the country's big picture thinkers to apply their minds and come up with solutions to some of our country's biggest problems that are limiting its growth potential and a more sustainable future as well. Well, over 150 entries were received and building sustainable township economies, integrating micro-investment ecosystems and entrepreneurial innovation, written by Teboho Ntwana, who's a PhD student at Northwest University, was selected as the winning paper. This, with the township economy occupying a landmass bigger than that of Johannesburg and Durban combined, and home to about 40% of the country's urban population, representing a vital yet underutilized engine for economic growth. Teboho is with us now. Thanks so much, Teboho, for your time today. So right at the top, I want to home in on the untapped potential you identified and why creating systems that properly integrates what have become vibrant economic centers into the economy is, quite frankly, a no-brainer. What are people missing when it comes to township economies?
Thank you, Alicia, for the opportunity and for having me. There's a lot of things that people are generally missing when it comes to the township market and the economy on its own. I mean, one of the things that, Stats SA has released in 2020 is that the township economy size is worth about 400 billion. And which that on its own, obviously speaks of the informal sector, which that contributes about 28% to the GDP of the country, according to the South African Reserve Bank. So that on its own, that goes to show, with a township retail market size of about 120 billion, so that really shows that there's really this untapped potential that could really be obviously taken advantage of. And one of the things that I think for me that stood out when I was doing the study was the fact that in our country we've got a lot of employment challenges, and with that, from an employment point of view, that the informal sector or the township economy employs close to about 3.5 million people, which according to Stats SA, so with the research that they've done by themselves. So that on its own, from a numbers point of view, it really shows that it's quite, a huge market that could really be tapped into and taken advantage of. If only it could be understood and honest better, I think we could definitely see results.
Absolutely. And those numbers are staggering, and yet their efforts stifled by, everything from systemic challenges, including a lack of capital, inadequate infrastructure, limited market reach as well, impeding, like you say, their full growth potential as centers of commerce. So clearly you've done the maths, you've looked at the statistics, and it's always the numbers, right, that provides the incentive to want to get that alignment between an understanding of the market and creating effective solutions. So at a broad level, before we delve into the detail, what have you proposed when it comes to changing things?
It's a couple of things that I've proposed. It's establishing township specific financial institutional or funding programs, with obviously our microeconomics. Micro investment ecosystem, which obviously that consists of a couple of components that could obviously collectively support township entrepreneurs. I've mentioned some of the things like your crowdfunding platforms that could really be taken advantage of. I've mentioned things like your peer-to-peer lending that could definitely be taken advantage of, and mainly venture capital funds, going into the township to actually be able to invest in some of the businesses that are in the township, and with certain communities, even went to the extent of identifying community-based investment funds, you know, that a collective of people, we're coming together, pulling in resources to actually invest small amounts of funds that could really grow businesses. And most importantly, how we could better explore microfinance institutions, you know, that could really partner with township entrepreneurs, you know, to actually be able to give them, whether it's microloan or savings accounts, you know, or any other products that could really be of benefit with that, which obviously that speaks to the triple P, which is private-public partnerships that could consist of both private sector and government. And these are some of the solutions that I think for me, on the basis of my research, that obviously I saw that if those could be taken advantage of, then from them, you know, that could actually be the first basis to start. Yeah.
And as you say, it's the first place, right? But we're looking at three components in this entire matrix that have to work together. You've really stressed micro investment initiatives, but it's entrepreneurial innovation as well and targeted policy interventions too. So I want to break them down so that we can delve into some of the detail. When it comes to the micro investment side of things, what are some of the considerations to be kept in mind when tailoring micro investment initiatives to meet the specific needs of informal enterprises?
Yeah, I think for me, it's them, Anisha, from the fact that, I mean, looking at our banking system in the country, it doesn't really acknowledge township entrepreneurs. It's if when you're a township entrepreneur, you are technically unemployed or you're doing nothing. So therefore, there's things that I'm making example, things like security or surety that sometimes would become a trial for them to actually be able to produce to a certain extent. Sometimes even from a documenting some of even record keeping for some of the transactions that take place in the township, because those are not well recorded. So those obviously leaves a room, for township entrepreneurs or businesses to actually be disadvantaged. So therefore, I think for me to try and really formalizing that, for me, it's one of the key, I think, setup, process. That's why obviously I've tried to even look at solutions that could actually come to that. Hence, obviously, the likes of your gussy bags that, I've introduced, that a lot of people don't know about, which obviously was launched in 2017. Which consists of individuals that could actually come in together. It's sort of like an alternative currency that could actually be used to support small businesses. And they took a couple of participating businesses and got them to actually participate along their consumers. So which that on its own, speaks to the innovative aspect of that, why yet formalizing that space on its own. So it's something that I think really still needs a lot of work, but we really obviously need to understand it first.
Absolutely. You know, this in the context where, as you said, the thinking for now is high risk, low collateral, but where, traditional collateral measures just don't apply to back loan extensions or credit facilities in this market. So my question to you is, if we get a bit specific here, how do we get traditional financial institutions that are absent from these markets on board with offering access to capital without the stringent requirements of conventional banking?
So, there are quite a few that, traditional markets, whether institutions that are already trying to tap into that already. One of the entrepreneurs that I spoke about as well in terms of within my study, which is Township Entrepreneurship Alliance. That on its own, it's a community of entrepreneurs that obviously are coming together in terms of obviously trying to get themselves formalized in terms of that. So now with Township Entrepreneurship Alliance, let me make an example. The simple thing, partnered with a bank to launch even Township Awards, for them to actually be able to factor that, or identify the fact that there's a need for township businesses to actually be recognized as businesses that are contributing equally to the economy. So with that, it goes to studying how township entrepreneurs operate and some of the challenges that they've had. And that's why obviously the likes of your GG Adlock on Gasinomics also went to an extent of even studying, some things like even the retail market of that. And half of the time you see with businesses that have taken the time to actually study and understand the township economy, those are the markets or the entities that have money. Because reality is we cannot expect them to come with solution from the top of their head without really them able to understand. So therefore, I think understanding studies like this, I think for me, or how the township operates, therefore, I think puts them at or gives them that added advantage to come up with design products that will be able to service. Because not reality is majority of the South African population is in the township and is staying in the township. And 75% of obviously people in the township, studies have shown that they're actually buying in the township on its own. That's why obviously you've got shopping centers and retail stores that are even moving to the township, because they've seen that there's really a market there that can be taken advantage of. Yeah. And half of the time a market that is affording more than anything. So that on its own, I think it's the way the start could actually be. Then from the design of the product would obviously be the secondary part of it.
Absolutely. And like you say, it's a deep understanding of this market that is required across the board, where it demands some out of the box thinking, especially where we're looking at informal traders who spend money. And you've highlighted one instance, right? But they spend money informal trade via relationships with their suppliers as well. So while seemingly unseen, they really are adding value to a market broader than the one that they're catering to. It needs, Teboho, to come hand in hand, though, with entrepreneurial innovation as well, because context matters. And, traditional business models in this context often falter due to limited resources and infrastructure as well. So when you say innovative approaches are essential, what exactly are you pointing to? The assumption is that you're talking tech, you're talking digital adoption.
Yeah, no. I mean, when I speak of that, I mean, that context, obviously, couple of things. So which is in township revitalization projects. So which that I know that particularly Gauteng has been spearheading that, So and mainly introducing of small business development agencies that could actually be able to factor that or become a support to small businesses. I mean, you've already mentioned tech. That on its own. And I think the key thing as well speaks to infrastructure, because obviously without adequate infrastructure, that obviously, creates, a boundary and a challenge on its own. So then I think then from a government point of view, that would mainly speak to streamlining regulatory processes and reduce bureaucracy, because half of the time that is also one of the things that obviously hinges, on innovation, especially for township entrepreneurs, and mainly creating that opportunity that would actually make them or help them be seen, so that whether it's big investors or even a venture fund that could actually be able to invest in growing the township. Because for me, a typical business in the township is a typical business of catering, security, and whereas there's many other innovative businesses that are not recognized, mainly because they're not understood based off where they are actually situated, which disadvantages them.
And what that does is widen the trust deficit as well, right? Because people just don't trust the business mechanism in play here. So talk us through that and the kind of impact that has in that regard, because then it speaks to market reach and gaining access to markets outside the ones that they're catering to right now.
Yeah, I mean, speaking to that, let me make an example. I mean, there's the likes of your Soweto Gold, which obviously was started by a township entrepreneur, which that on its own, exemplifies, blending entrepreneurial innovation with local insight, and which that obviously company today, has been bought by a listed company, so that on its own, that goes to show, there's the likes of Batu as well, which obviously are other township entrepreneurs that obviously started, from the bottom, and obviously with understanding obviously that market insight, so which and obviously blending that, so with obviously the township innovation, that obviously on its own is able to obviously resonate, so both from a local and international point of view. And these are just some of the well-known brands. I mean, there's a couple of brands and businesses that we know nothing about, and you'll be surprised that are doing business, from a global scale, coming from the township, point of view. So because what with that, they're able to, what get, you know, or establish community-driven initiatives. They've managed to access, obviously, the right kind of capital for them to actually be able to grow. And most importantly, we cannot overlook training, you know, because some of these entrepreneurs, you know, I mean, myself, I started off as a township entrepreneur, but it was mainly circumstantial than choice. So, but therefore, obviously, backing them up with the right kind of training to say, for you to grow as a business, this is what you obviously you need to look at. And this is how you actually grow a business. And that obviously, once with that, it obviously then propel that innovation and local knowledge to actually grow this business.
Absolutely, because I was going to, you know, that was going to be my next question. On the other side of the continuum, you've got to enhance that capacity. And, you know, where you talk about a market having an understanding of this new market and the opportunity and potential it presents, you've got to talk to these entrepreneurs within the township economies, opening themselves up to new ways of doing things as well, that I don't know if we go as far as say that are more palatable and in line with doing business in the world outside of their parameters alone.
Yeah, no, it's true with that, Alicia. Because I mean, when you're looking at I mean, what you just mentioned, for the time, particularly then pertaining to township entrepreneurs or township businesses, the focus becomes really hand to mouth, and it's rare or it's few businesses that actually able to invest on their business models. You know, so hence, obvious, one of the things that I made mention is supporting those businesses from an innovative business model point of view, or encouraging them, you know, whether it could be through grants, tax incentives, you know, or technical assistance that maybe those businesses might need. Hence, you find the likes of your small business development corporation are doing something, the likes of your IDC and many others, you know, and obviously through those partnerships, you know, it's really that I think is able to help and propel, I mean, these businesses to territories that are unfamiliar. Most importantly, you could imagine now as local business now having to be, let's say, doing business in Sentinel or even doing business within the global stages, that is on its own, it's unfamiliar territories, obviously without the right support, whether it's financial support or legal support, you know, or even advisory for that matter, you know, obviously those businesses would really not stand a chance. So I think for me, it's something that would really need to, I think, take it a step further to actually delve into, and most importantly, getting brands to actually, you know, partner with township businesses to actually propel them for their success.
Absolutely. And you've been alluding to this throughout the conversation so far, Taboho, the fact that we need targeted policy interventions. And that is, you know, the third pillar to creating a more supportive environment for township economies. I've got to ask the question, though, why have policies that account for the informal economy, you know, bringing them into this entire equation, been so slow to action in a country like ours? And, you know, are there any evidence-based strategies that we can draw from to transform informal sectors into sustainable engines of inclusive growth? Because like I said at the top, this should be a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer, but you'd be surprised. I mean, from a policy point of view, how far behind we still are, you know, as a country and from a government point of view. And I mean, to answer your question, it is important to have obviously good policies that are able to support the environment for these businesses to actually be able to grow and take that business obviously to greater heights. And it's because half of the time, even simply from a procurement point of view, I mean, one of the biggest procurers in this country, you know, and in any economy, for instance, especially that could really unlock some of these businesses. And without obviously a conducive environment, you know, obviously those businesses would be stifled from a growth point of view. So therefore, hence, obviously, the importance of having the right policies to actually be supporting those businesses. Formalization of those informal businesses, I think, would be one of the key things that obviously would need to be looked at from a government point of view. Investing in the right infrastructure, I think that one I've made mention of, you know, and obviously things like your financial inclusion initiative. So I think it's really one of the things that are key. And I mean, from a fostering partnerships point of view, you could imagine from many, countries that are in partnership with South Africa, there's the likes of BRICS, for instance, and even from a consulate point of view, how many countries that have their led offices in the country. But reality is, I can tell you how many BRICS companies are doing businesses in South Africa. But I cannot tell you how many businesses, especially particularly small businesses or township businesses, are doing business in BRICS. So therefore, do you understand, these agreements are actually signed in at an, on a high level point of view, where else they don't filter down to the small businesses or to the ordinary person or on to the businesses. Now, even if you were to look at some of these businesses wanting to go on their own, the cost of wanting to do a business on a global scale, you know, it already, you know, stifles that business. It already disadvantages that business because they cannot hire the right law firm to actually be able to lay the right groundwork for them, whether it's the licensing, it's things like that. That really is a challenge. Hence, obviously, that government support would really propel those businesses to be able to participate on a fair scale, and most importantly, be given a chance, because other countries are doing that for their small businesses. Unfortunately, with us, we're very much behind and we're neglecting township businesses mainly.
Absolutely. So when you say something like, expedite the formalization of this informal market, you've got to keep front of mind the question, can this market afford a strict formalization of the informal economy? Because surely that would be a step too far. That could see a burgeoning space then being hamstrung by red tape. So it's, more a matter of regulation that will instead start to see the success and growth feed into our employment numbers, GDP numbers, revenue, et cetera, right? What are some of the incentives that government could be putting on the table to extract this?
Yeah, I mean, some of the incentives that you could look at, I mean, there's tax incentives as well that obviously could be introduced, obviously, at the start. So, I mean, the likes of your Department of Trade and Industry, they already have some of the grants as well, you know, that are being introduced. But obviously, there's a limitations with it. I mean, you look at the likes of your Black Industrialist, fund, which is a grant on its own that is meant to be developing Black Industrialists within the township for status. But now the reality is as well, how many township businesses are actually taking advantage of such? You know, they would host sometimes international trade tours that I've been on one of them as well. But right now, there's really few businesses that you get to be, that able to take participation, of such. I mean, some of us, I think, have been fortunate to take advantage of those because we're exposed to information and some of these, things that are out there. But reality is, for the ordinary man or woman on the street, they're actually disadvantaged. And there's just few of them. That's why you can literally count them on the one hand. So now I think with more introduction of those, and obviously private sector obviously coming with their own as well, could really help small businesses with those, whether it's out towards equipment that they need, or even simple mere support that could, I think, be of beneficial to them. So there's really a lot that, from an incentives point of view, that could really be done and explored. We could even take a blueprint and check what are other countries doing, and even replicate that on its own. Let me bring it back to our country. Right now, I mean, previously, businesses that are struggling would go under liquidation. Do you understand? But now, obviously, because of what has happened in the UK, what has happened in the US, now there's an introduction of business rescue process in South Africa to say, let liquidation be the last thing that obviously can get considered. There's an alternative where your business can actually be turned around to actually be able to save the business, not the company, So that on its own obviously has given a couple of businesses, second opportunities as well. So you could imagine legislations like that were just copied from other countries. Now they're working for our country. So there's other legislation from an incentive point of view that could be taken from other countries than from the customized from the local market and get introduced. I think that could definitely be beneficial for township businesses.
Yeah. That's how we start converting that rich commercial activity that happens in the, as Gigi Alcock calls it, the Kasi economy, right, into the broader economy. The success, though, Teboho, of your proposals will hinge on collaboration, right, between policymakers, private sector actors, and then development agencies as well. Innovation is going to be dependent on a deep understanding of the local context, as you highlighted as well. Where are your confidence levels sitting in that regard with the GNU in play?
Okay, that one is quite, I mean, from a GNU point of view, that already speaks to that collaboration that is already starting. But obviously, that as well, at the same time, the very same GNU, I mean, it's under, I think, potential attackers right now, obviously, there's political parties that are trying to gather to actually disseminate to the very same GNU, obviously, because with that on its own, I mean, that speaks to say how much of a collective coming together for the same purpose of saving our people, you know, could really be of beneficial with that. So already, I think with the competition itself, that's why I think I give a big applause to PSG and, you know, Economic Research South Africa, I mean, coming up with such so that obviously these solutions could actually be proposed. And hopefully we're hoping that obviously it's either one of the government department or one of the ministers or whatever could actually take this to step further to actually see that what solution maybe is where perhaps lower hanging that could actually be taken advantage of and what can obviously maybe that even implement from themselves from a government point of view, you know, to whether strengthen the government, you know, because with that, you know, it's able to obviously it will that would enable the GNU themselves, you know, to be able to become a solution for a country. Because this thing that we've been experiencing of government pulling different directions, half of the time, guess who suffers? These citizens. And right now, the entrepreneurs are its citizens. You'll be surprised how many businesses, Alicia, are going under, even big brands businesses, you know. And now you could imagine now there's more and more people that are losing their jobs and that are going obviously into the informal market. Hence, obviously, small businesses and township businesses would really need to be supported by a government for them to be able to absorb more people that are going to be unemployed and to be able to create more jobs so that people are able to put food on the table. Because unfortunately, without that, you know, that opens up more crime. You know, that obviously takes place in the township. I mean, being in the township myself, I mean, I know how the mafias are taking advantage of that and how crime is growing. I mean, like, look at what is happening now with those miners, 4,000 miners trapped underground. That's a big number. Do you understand? And all of that obviously now speaks to the level of the challenges that we have of unemployment. Obviously, up until we're able to build businesses that are contributing to the economy or creating jobs for those people, that would create more problem. And once that it does, it obviously kills investor confidence. And obviously now people want to do to live, to invest in the country. And without obviously loosening up some of the regulations as well, you know, obviously that throws off obviously investors and then we no longer become a viable investment destination as a country, which obviously it's a challenge on its own that year.
Yeah, and all of this, you know, leveraging then a sub-economy that is absolutely fascinating. I mean, we're absolutely looking at a multi-sectoral economy here, right? Within the economy itself, auto, it retail, health, medicine, beauty, and hair, fast food, taxi. You've got the passive income being realized via rentals of back rooms and that being a sector in itself as well. So Teboho, really no denying that an out-of-the-box thinking, as I said at the top, is required here, where the scale and size and the opportunities of these markets is now just simply becoming too hard to ignore, especially because of the fact that you would see success within that economy start to ripple, right? Building sustainable township economies is not just an economic imperative, but it's a social one as well. It's a way that we go about creating sustainable, inclusive, and resilient communities that can contribute meaningfully to South Africa's future. So, Teboho, what a pleasure it's been catching up with you today. Thanks so much for having joined us in conversation.
Yeah, no, thank you, Alicia, and thank you to PSG for making this possible. I think as we conclude, I want to challenge you and invite you. Let me take you out to the township. Let's go have lunch and see some of the lifestyle that's in the township and how much money is invested there. And we could even capture that for our viewers, you know, that would actually see how viable the township is and the opportunity. But it was great having the conversation with you.
Absolutely. And I will take you up on that offer when the invitation comes through. That's it for the Think Big series for 2024. But remember, all episodes post their broadcast are available. They're accessible. They're free to anyone, whether you're a PSG client or not. So do catch up if you've missed some along the way. Until next year, from me, Alicia Seckham, it's goodbye.